This is his first book. And the first book that I had from him of this goes way back at the beginning of, I think, 2005 or something like that. And it got so bad that it fell apart, so I got a new one. And Doug, of course, I've been pouncing on him for a long, long time that he's got to let it be available again, but he didn't like it. So he's a critic of his own self.
He's going to rewrite it or something.
Going to rewrite it. I told him it was already perfect. There's nothing to be changed. It was written and ordained of the Lord, and he did a good job with it, and it does a great work for saints who are looking for the, let's say, next level of reformation. And it takes all the politics and exposes it. And so this afternoon, he told me where to go, and we will share that in a little while. But what I find, let's say, intriguing is his way of confirming his word over and over. And then, of course, allowing me with my head to get in the process of it, trying to figure out what he really wants and why. And the minute I get into the whys, I get in trouble. Because then it's me trying to control what he's trying to release in the body of Christ. And I believe when you and I listen to some of the different, let's say, possibilities of what's around the corner and the war games that are going on against Israel and the leadership in Israel and the United States and the leadership here. And of course, I did hear that Brazil's presidents also came down with COVID-19. And, you know, all I can tell you is God's not caught by surprise with all this. And he wants us to be focused on him and not on the problem. The minute I focus on the problem in my circumstances, I get in trouble. Because when I'm focused on the problem, my brain tries to figure out a way to come out of it. And we are spirit beings. And we definitely have an old nature, the soulish part of us, that still has a lot more power than maybe we perceive. And that's, you know, what I'm looking at. Certain couple things happened this morning, and I said to the Lord, oh boy, I can see my emotions and I can see my soul trying to take over to solve the problem. And of course, if I solve the problem, who gets the glory? I feel better, but is it a solution? Is it going to hold? Is it going to bring the fruits of the Spirit? Or is it going to make me feel better about myself? So many, many times we don't perceive how much of the mind, will, and emotions in the body of Christ are still very much at the top. And very few are under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and carrying out what the Holy Spirit wants done. So keeping that in mind, I believe what, you know, Doug was writing on this apostolic reformation was the solution that would take place when people would begin to realize how much we are still controlling things and how much we want to solve our own problem or try to solve our own problem. And the end result, obviously, is flesh. It's not spirit. And yesterday, I listened to Tim Sheets. And I know that there was one person that I called to tell Peggy to listen to it. There was a real strong threat. And Tim Sheets released a message of what he perceives to be around the corner. And my concept is this: possibly by the Feast of Tabernacles, we will start seeing the manifestation of what the Lord has been preparing. We've had a international Passover. And then he called the Pentecost a global Pentecost, I think he said. But recognizing that Holy Spirit is not caught by surprise with all the darkness that's in the earth. You and I don't like it, at least when you listen to the stuff that's going on. The amount of lies, the amount of deception, the amount of, let's say, war, and the division that's happening in so many ways, because, again, accusations from one group against another group and so on and so forth. And it is so tiring that you just want to shut the TV off. Or at least that's my solution.
And it happens right in our own homes.
Oh, yes.
You know, between family members. I mean, that's how I'm experiencing it.
You're not alone. I have situations that I, you know, sometimes I can skip over it, but at other times there's something that happens on the inside of me, and it's like a holy anger that bounces out, okay? And several days back, somebody put something on Facebook, and it irritated me to the degree that I picked up the phone and I left a message and I gave scripture, because the information that was put out there was actually producing and glorifying fear. And I thought, oh, what is the, you know, this is not good. You're creating another level of anxiety in people, and you're creating this to do that, and it's not God. And I just gave scripture, and then I said, blessings, I respect you, but you need to really look at what God says about this instead of what you perceive. And I quoted Genesis, where, you know, they faced that Passover. They were safe because of the lamb and the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. They were totally protected. Even the Egyptians that didn't believe in God, because they had already seen six plagues, they had seen the caterpillars, they had seen the frogs, they had seen the blackness in every area. I mean, you know, when people think that those people were not going through hell, you've got some news coming. You know, those grasshoppers ate everything in sight. I mean, they were starving because all their foods were gone, and their supplies and their finances were drained. So, you know, when they knocked on the door of the Jewish community that night, the door opened, and the people that were the unbelievers came in for safety. That's, you know, I don't think we have a mindset of what that was like. And that's kind of what, you know, I said, look what the Lord did then. Has he changed his ways? Okay? Yes, you are going through a test. Yes, you may have all kinds of challenges, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't change Pharaoh's heart. God hardened his heart. Romans 9. Check it out. It is God that hardened the Pharaoh in order to what? Bury his entire army. You say, well, oh, another round? Yes. Is it possible that we're going to see another challenge in order to expose the darkness? I don't know, but it's possible. The pattern of God is to expose the enemy and let the enemy bury themselves. It hasn't changed. I'm already preaching that. I guess we're going to go right to it. I'm not guessing. I'm going forward. Okay, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And your spirit is on my case.
Your spirit is on my case.
You want me to hear.
You want me to hear.
How important it is.
How important it is.
To develop my spiritual senses.
To develop my spiritual senses.
Because I'm a spirit person.
Because I'm a spirit person.
First.
First
and foremost,
and foremost.
I have a body.
I have a body.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
Mind, will, and emotions.
Mind, will, and emotions.
And they've been in control.
And try to control.
But we're exposing.
We're exposing.
The plan of darkness tonight.
And the fear tactics
that go with it. I heard the number 81 when I picked up the book. So I'm taking you to page 81. And there's a lot of, let's say, believers that are full of fear. And I watched a short video this morning that showed Dr. Rashid Buttar. And he played it on his website for a few minutes. And it's a cartoon preparing the children for the mark of the beast. Now, they don't call it the mark of the beast. They call it the mark. And it's going to open every door and you'll be safe morning, noon, and night. And they're starting to indoctrinate the children because that's where you start. Okay, and the entire cartoon shows people sitting in a chair, and then they actually imprint a mark on the right arm, and you can buy with it, you can sell with it, and you can get healed with it, etc., etc., and it's a wonderful thing, and if you want to get on the bus, you just lift up your arm, and you literally have the door open. And it goes click, click, and maybe a dollar goes into your, you know, company account, and you get deducted a dollar. And I mean, like, oh my God. So that's creating what? Yeah. Then it shows you the head one of the city, and he's dressed up like a Star Wars outfit, and he's dictating. The whole section of the city is needed to be in that place to work. So everybody gets a message from their arm. And they all walk one after another, 6 feet apart on the sidewalk, heading towards the tram to take them to work. What a wonderful life. You don't have to think. Thank you. So,
this is a cartoon that's coming out.
It's already out. Well, I'm not the one that watches cartoons, but it tells you that this is planting seeds to the next generation. The enemy's crafty, okay? So obviously, guess what the heading on this chapter is? The mark. Our recent studies have focused on two natures, the Adam beast nature and the nature of Christ. We saw how Adam was originally clothed with the glory of God. You'll find that in Psalm 8, verse 5. Befitting his nature, as he was made in the image and likeness of God, and how after his rebellion, he was clothed with the skins of a beast, befitting his new beast nature, the lower nature. We also biblically define sin as missing the mark of manifesting the glory or nature of God, Romans 3, 23. Speaking of marks, there are many today who are fearful of a certain mark mentioned in Revelations 13, 16, the mark of the beast. Remember that in Revelations 1:1, it says this revelation was signified, S-I-G-N in capital letter, I-F-I-E-D, signified to John, communicating in signs, symbols, and metaphors. It is symbolic in nature and prophetic in interpretation. Take that to the bank. Say the mark will be symbolic in nature,
symbolic in nature,
and prophetic in interpretation. There is a spiritual principle that you will find all through Scripture. First the natural, then the spiritual. You'll see that in 1 Corinthians 15:46. That's 1 Corinthians 15:46. A quick example would be 1 Corinthians 10:2, where it equates the Red Sea experience with baptism. The first, the natural, then the spiritual. I believe that we will find the natural fulfillment of Revelation 13:16 in the following. Now, I want to backtrack just a little bit here. You see, the Red Sea experience, they were baptized into Moses. Moses had a supernatural quality about him. And that's why the Lord allowed all of them to follow in that unbelievable, I would say, scary experience of crossing with a wall of water on both sides, and they were facing death, and they still went through it. When his sister decided to dance on the other side as she watched the army get buried, she wasn't just dancing. She was aware that she and her entire nation had been set free from the war against Pharaoh and all of the mistreatment and 400 years of being stolen from and being used as slaves. So, to bring you back to this now, the baptism that Jesus brought and John the Baptist brought was a choice. Was it a choice to continue walking through that tunnel that was loaded with water on both sides? Did they face their fears at that point? I believe they did. How long did it last? Not very long. Just a few weeks later, they're all back into slavery because their minds had not been changed. Even though they had this dramatic experience, They were still thinking with the beast mentality. And they went right back to what they did in Egypt. And they created their own false god made out of the gold that they got. So that should give us a clue about us, about how we go back, how quickly we are back into the old nature, and we don't even see the slip that takes us there. And I'm not speaking just for me. I believe all of us find that it is very easy to go back to the natural way of fixing a problem rather than connecting with the Lord. We had an experience on Sunday. We never got heard. And it was an awesome confession. And I believe you said it at least 5 or 6 times. Okay? Until it clicked. And my lights went on. And I said, wow. So we is me and the Lord. Amen? Me and the Lord go through stuff. And me and the Lord will go through stuff. And it's not going to be by the control tactics of the beast, but it's going to be by the freedom of the Spirit and the instructions from the Spirit. Say, I'm ready for the next round. I'm going to repeat. I believe that we will find the natural fulfillment in Revelation 13:16 in the following. The mark is the name of the beast. The name of the beast is the name of a man. The numerical value is 666. The word earth is used in the book of Revelation is G-H-A-Y. I believe it would be gay. It means a region. The earth envisioned by John was the Roman earth or empire, not the whole world. The Roman papal empire used Latin as its language, and in the year AD 666, get a load of that, you can verify this, Pope Vitalian decreed the exclusive use of Latin so that every person in the Western Europe as a member of the Catholic Church used Latin. Thus, the mark in the forehead, which is the mind and the thoughts, and in the hand, written language. The Greek word, remember, the book of Revelation was written in Greek. For Latin is Latinos. And it has a numerical value of 666. Latin. In the Latin language, Latinus is a proper noun, meaning the Latin man. Hence, the name of the Roman papal empire, the Latin empire, is also the name of a man. This Latin empire, AD 1178, by Pope Alexander III, forbid trading with heretics, which were non-Catholics. And Pope Martin V, after the Council of Constance, commanded that the heretics, non-Catholics, could not have houses in their district or enter into contracts or carry on commerce. My intention here is not to heap condemnation on any individual who is Catholic, but rather just to present the facts. First the natural, and then the spiritual. Friend, I believe the natural has already been fulfilled. I personally am not fretting too much about barcodings or chips, implants. Our concern needs to be the spiritual. Are we living our lives buying and selling, trafficking in the ways of the world with the mark of the beast? The commercial today on that little cartoon says a lot about what is being advertised as, you know, fear tactics. The Adam nature in our forehead, our minds, and our will, and our emotions, and our right hand, the strength of the flesh. You see, the word mark used in that scripture in Greek is karagma, meaning a scratch or etching, a stamp as a badge of servitude. Its root word is charax. Charax is also the root word for character. I believe this mark to be an outward manifestation of an inward character of the Adam beast nature. I propose to you that there are already many today who bear the mark of the beast, the Adam nature, in their foreheads and in their right hand. We are to be marked with a different nature and a different name on our foreheads, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We can read of this in Exodus 28, verses 36 and 38. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may take upon himself and bear any iniquity. It shall always be upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Aaron was what? What was his job? High priest, right? Okay. We are priests of the Most High. Say, I'm a priest of the Most High. The pure gold of plate is symbolic of divine nature. The engraving of a signet refers to ownership and authority. And the word engraved upon our minds, holiness, or set apart for God. Say, I'm set apart. For God. Because it's written. Holiness. The pure gold of holiness is my mind. Under the anointing of the Lord. That's good news, right? See, a lot of times we don't comprehend something because we're just fluffing through something. But right now, I believe this word is trying to encourage us to realize what we have, rather than crying out what we don't have or being afraid of being invaded with some kind of a stamp on our arm, hand, or forehead. Catching on? All right. I believe we see another picture of this in Revelation 7 with the sealing of the 144,000. Notice first that verse 4 says 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Judah is named first, even though he was not the firstborn. Dan is left out and Manasseh is added. Now, didn't the text say all the tribes of Israel? If literal Israel is meant here, then we seem to have a logistical problem. I believe this is a spiritual Israel being implied. After all, Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9 speak of those who say they are Jews but are not. And Romans 2, verse 28 and 29, defines a true Jew. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Let the scriptures interpret itself. We talked about on Sunday, in Jeremiah chapter 9, that real circumcision is having the stuff of the natural man cut away from our hearts. And that is actually showing you the scriptures to verify it. Consider Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes. Come on, say that's me.
That's me.
I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. Revelations 21:2, 9, and 10. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Remember, you must be born from above, all arrayed like a bride. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then in the spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I thought we are going to see the bride. Why are we looking at the new Jerusalem? Revelations 14:1. And with him, 144,000, having his father's name written on their forehead. So the nature of our Father is written in our thoughts. The nature of our Father is written in the way we think and how we respond. Now you know what you got. You've got a new number on your forehead. 12 is the number of divine government or apostolic order. And the New Jerusalem has 12 gates, which are 12 pearls. Got it, girl? 12 angel messengers, 12 tribes on the gates, 12 foundation stones with the names of 12 apostles. Its length and width are 12,000 furlongs. The walls are 144, 12 times 12 cubits high. We are beginning to get the idea this might be symbolic. Perhaps this 144,000 is a symbolic number representing the church, not necessarily the Christian religious system. The ecclesia, called out once in divine order, marked or sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the perfect man, Ephesians 4:13, the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, the corporate man with Jesus as the head and us as the body, manifesting the nature of God, the image and likeness of God, fully restored, operating in fullness of the Spirit. That's your future. Yeah, I heard that, amen. This is the mark to be concerned with. Let us lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. You see, our spirit was saved instantly when we came to Christ. And our soul is being saved as we receive the mark or seal, the nature of God in our foreheads and in our minds, in our will and our emotions. As we receive this seal in our soul, I believe we will also be receiving the mark in our right hand. The right hand is symbolic of strength or power. And didn't Jesus say that we would do greater works? This is the mark I'm concerned with. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. Colossians 3:4. You know, after I got done reading that, I said, Lord, we can only depend on you to perform the next level. Because if we try to do it on our own, what are we doing? You're going to get the same results as you've got last year and the year before that. And when you look at the religious system that's functioning now, called Christianity, the unbelief is visible. a lot of the tormenting ways of the natural man or the beast part of us is still operating. And I'm not saying I'm free. I am saying that I'm freer than I used to be. Okay? And there is progress. That progress is quickened in me when I'm about to make a decision. And very often, the Holy Spirit will impact and say, no, you're to turn right. Use that road instead of this one. That happened a couple of weeks ago on Sunday. And I found out that it was an accident. And I was there to pray because the Lord had sent me there. It also caused a backlash for some people to come in late. But I already knew if they used the highway, there was a major problem. So that was the Holy Spirit impacting me. It wasn't my great thought, if that makes sense. It was him. I am praying that all of us will be able to realize and recognize more and more as we rely on his abilities in us to make the right decisions. And if we're heading in the wrong direction, that he'll push something in us to change our direction so that we don't make another mistake or get caught with a self-defense mechanism, which I very much find that that's a trigger that I land there more quickly than I want to. I'm better than I used to be. I see myself more, which is the old nature. I don't get quite as upset with myself because I can see the trigger point. And more visibly now, I can also see the Lord saying, well done, more often, because I am making less mistakes. Or let's say more aware of them as they are progressing. So if I'm aware of that I'm heading in the wrong direction or thinking in the wrong direction, and there's a jolt inside of me, or something that happens to awaken me, I don't get so upset. So the emotions are being trained to overcome, if that makes sense. Being trained. I'm not there. I wish I was. I want to be. But I still find that that old pattern is more comfortable than I realize, or it comes more quickly than I want it. Do I get any hands? All right. So what do? Would you just put your stuff down? Just lift your hands to him. Because you see, without him, what are we going to have? The same old stuff, the same old pattern, going around the same circle, going right back to discouragement and oppression. Say, Holy Spirit, you are the counselor.
You are the counselor.
And I'm expecting counsel.
And I'm expecting counsel.
I'm expecting a lot more grace.
I'm expecting a lot more grace
than I've already had.
Than I've already had.
I'm expecting many signs and wonders.
Many signs and wonders.
To arouse
from within me,
from the Spirit of the Lord,
the Spirit of wisdom,
the Spirit of understanding,
the Spirit of counsel,
the Spirit of might,
the Spirit of knowledge,
and the fear of the Lord.
All seven
are needed in me. Like they were in our first brother, who raised and came out of the grave by the power of the Spirit of the Father. He didn't leave him dead. And he's not going to leave me. in shattered emotions,
broken relationships,
or many other depressing things. You have a plan, Lord. And I'm expecting signs and wonders and downloads from heaven to awaken me so that I will not have the mind of the beast and the emotions of the beast, but the solid gold thinking from my heavenly Father, by his Spirit in my mind,
in my will,
and in my emotions,
to match what he's done
in my spirit already. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. I want my spirit and my soul to be in harmony. No more war. Just harmony. Brought forth by grace and favor, because that's what he promised to give us. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. I give